Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Welcome to the show. We're here once again. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Christina.
And we're here to bring you the latest and best of our own bisexuality.
All the bi news right here.
Not much news, unfortunately. I want to get started today. So you might guys have heard that Channel 9 is doing a new season of Married at First Sight with gay people.
What? Really?
Really. Obviously, they can't actually get married, so I'm not quite sure how they're going about that. But this was on Facebook, and there were a lot of people commenting saying this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And one guy was saying, straights and bisexuals have been making a mockery of the institution of marriage for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and have we now?
We have. And so a young woman came in and was like, why are you putting bisexual people in this? We deal with a lot of the same discrimination as queer people or gay people. And then he was saying that bisexual people get to experience a lot of the privileges that gays don't, including taking part in institutions such as marriage. And they have a lot of privileges that gay people don't. Now, being the keyboard warrior I am, I did jump in there a bit, being like, I'm actually in a relationship with a woman who I'd very much like to be able to marry one day. Mm. Also, do you think it's a little ironic that you're criticising people for who they fall in love with? Just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe not doing that.
Yeah, look, I think there's something in there that sort of unsettles me too. But I've got to I think about the privileges that can come with being in a relationship with an opposite sex partner in this heteronormative world. Like and I'm speaking for myself now because I can't speak for everybody, but if I think about the times I walked down the street when I lived in gorgeous St Kilda, I miss that place, holding my male partner's hand, and that's St Kilda, and the level of anxiety or just the exposure, the fact that I was aware that I was sort of walking down Ackland Street holding my male partner's hand. And I don't experience the same level of anxiety when I'm just walking down the street with my female partner's hand when I've had female partners. So I think there's some privileges definitely in there, but
I think the idea of straight passing privilege is, again, like implied on technically anybody who is not actively holding someone's hand is straight passing privilege. Because, we kind of...
Right, thank you. Good point.
We kind of automatically default that everyone is straight until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
And so I guess my issue with that was that it's basically saying that I might fall in love with a man and want to marry him, and I can do that, but it doesn't make me a heterosexual person at all. I don't feel heterosexual. In fact, I often have to deal with the fact that my partner doesn't like the fact that I'm bisexual because he thinks I'm more likely to cheat or whatever it is that they deal with that, or he thinks he means that I'm open to threesomes and stuff like that. And I guess my frustration with that was that, again, the idea of being able to divide your sexuality and, like, cut off parts of it at will, because it's never like that.
Like a triple bypass?
Yeah, exactly. Getting the scalpel in there, taking out the problematic parts.
Do you know what I find objectionable, actually, is the idea that we as bisexuals are going out there with the intention to take advantage of this straight passing privilege that we have. It's our whole sexuality is based around, oh, I can get away with this and I can have the fun of putting my bits on another person of the same gender. That actually offends me.
Oh, no, I find it hugely offensive, especially because that attitude of, like, us gays, it's like us and you. And that kind of separation has been something that I've struggled with the queer community for my entire adolescence. And it's the same thing of feeling safe in queer spaces because people are just like, you're dating a guy, what the hell are you doing in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, the betrayal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if you're dating someone of the opposite sex, you're in some way betraying your queerness.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the whole point of our movement is that you cannot pick who you love.
Yeah.
Totally. And I wonder if it's different depending on your gender, because I find that when I now talk to my gay male friends about bisexuality, it's kind of turned into this kinky thing. Now they're just interested to hear my stories.
Really?
And it's kind of given me this sort of status to talk about how, inverted commas, kinky it is to be bisexual. So
vaginas are kinky stuff.
But they trivialise it, don't they, by saying it's not legitimate, it's not serious, but it's just this strange little thing that Anthony likes doing once in a while.
Yeah. I always found when I was first out on the scene, what I would get off from women that I was interested in was, well, you're going to go back to men eventually.
Yeah.
So that every time that I got into a relationship with the person of the opposite gender, I felt as if I was betraying the cause, that I was betraying my sisters, that I was, not gay enough, not whatever.
Not gay enough is the big one.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah, I mean, luckily my dad's gay, so even when I was in straight relationships, I still had a portal into the community.
Yeah.
But still it was like, I didn't feel like I could go to Pride with my male partner and hold his hand while I was marching for our rights, because it's by the mere fact that I'm holding his hand, everyone's going to assume, oh, yeah, she's straight. Oh, good on you, straight ally, It's like...
Yeah.
I suppose one of the other things I felt was quite frustrating about that would be that I'm fighting for this as hard as anybody.
Yeah.
I am not standing back and being like, well, it's okay because there's a good chance I'm going to be all right. And I think most bi people don't take the opposing side in that any more than some gay people, because there are gay people who are against marriage equality as well.
Yeah.
There are people, like, you know, everyone has their own opinions, but this idea that bisexuals as a group have been, like, working to thwart gay marriage is just so insulting. And just shows, like, again, that huge level of just, like, you know, not actually understanding it's a sexuality as valid as homosexuality. It's not a kink.
Yeah,
not a kink.
It's not a kink.
It's not a kink. Yeah. No. Vaginas aren't kinks.
No.
They're lovely, lovely things.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Look, it's not just all about us bisexuals, is it? It's also about the gorgeous people who are in our lives and who find us interesting and may even want to have relationships with us.
Yeah.
Those rare and such people who can see us for the unicorns we are.
Oh, I love being a unicorn. So I'm going to introduce you to my beautiful wife. And yes, she is my wife. We got married legally in New Zealand almost 2 years ago. Kristen, hi. Hello. Welcome.
It's so nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Your wife's really cute.
I know.
Stop it, I'm blushing.
She is too. She's gone red.
So Kristen, you've heard all this talk about, go on and rant on about bisexuals and
yes.
stuff. How do you feel about some of the stuff that we discuss around bi visibility and to be taken seriously?
Well, Christina's taught me pretty well. No, I'm just kidding.
You got the script there?
Yeah.
There's a big stick behind
it. She's passing me a note saying, help me.
No, I think it's really important what you guys are sort of getting out there. I mean, there's such a divide in the community and it's about time we get back together and form as one. It's getting quite ridiculous.
Yeah.
So good on you guys.
How did you feel about bisexuality before you got married?
She's been very nervous about answering this question, actually.
We've heard it all.
Well, I'm guessing since you're legally married, she did get over it.
Yeah, so.
She did. Yeah. I was blindsided before. Yeah, I think I was just on the side of not really understanding the hard work that you guys have put in to become visible. You know, I was just sort of in my own little lesbian world and running around and being gay and frolicking. And
a different kind of unicorn.
Yeah, I guess my response to it came from a variation of girls who just wanted to have a good time but then go home to their boyfriends and that sort of thing. And that's where I never really met true bisexuals until Christina came along.
Ta-da! What do you find as a true bisexual, though?
A person who's bi. Like,
do you mean like someone who's actually willing to be in a relationship with someone of the same sex?
Yes, yeah. I had met a lot of women who would be with their boyfriends but say that they were bisexual but had never had any experience with the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't quite understand what they were doing or didn't rally for anything. And, you know, I was surrounded in clubs with girls who just wanted to kiss girls and then go hang out with their boyfriends.
Katy Perry, I swear. She's ruined everything.
Punching her in the face with a chair. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Yeah, like peeping over their shoulder to see if their boyfriend's watching.
Oh, yeah.
Cherry chapstick everywhere.
Kristen, can I ask, because it's interesting, because I ask that question a lot about sort of around my same-sex male, in particular my same-sex male friends, about their views of bisexuality. And I've heard it a couple of times where people say that they went through a stage once where they identified as bisexual, not they weren't too attached to that label, but it was part of their sort of process of, I used the term last week as bi now, gay later. Mm. So I wonder if sometimes people might be a little bit sort of unsure or skeptical because they project their own experience on it as a part of perhaps our own journey to getting to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I said I was bi for a few months before I actually came out as a way to process everything.
It's coming out as bi, do you think that's easier?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we had you on this on our side for a little while.
Yeah.
No, I think that is an interesting point because I guess, like, for me, I feel like there is maybe less revulsion from some people, but there's also the, yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Prove it.
And that, yeah, the prove it thing and also oh, you get to choose still. Oh, isn't that fun for you?
Now, we got a text from Sam in St Kilda.
Oh, did we?
Hi, team. What range of responses do you get from potential partners when they find out that you are bi? Well, me, for guys, it's like, yeah! And that's instantly just like, oh, no. Oh, no.
I've had, with the girlfriends that I've had, they've been really curious and one has even been really sort of even turned on by it. And I found...
It's pretty hot. It's, yeah.
By it's pretty hot, I agree. Yeah. But I know that with my, the last serious male relationship I had, same-sex male relationship, he thought I was just, come on, hurry up already and come out, you know, stop bullshitting it. Mm. And then after a while he'd say, you know, there'd be throw off lines like, ah, oh, shut up, you're bisexual. and it was done in tongue in cheek. It wasn't offensive, but there was something in that he wasn't entirely convinced to take it on as something serious.
Now, my partner is bisexual, so I'm in a long distance relationship, which is not fun. My partner lives in Virginia in the United States. And so she identifies as bisexual, though she is much more likely to be attracted to women than to men. And she is unfortunately still closeted because her parents are hardcore Republicans.
Which she lives in Virginia.
I stayed there for 2 weeks and I was told how climate change was, you know, a conspiracy and some other very choice things said about Palestinians and Mexicans, which I'm not going to repeat because they were awful. Yeah, I suppose for her, she's really proud that I went to Pride for the first time with her this year. I felt like I could actually go with a female partner. Hmm. Like I felt like, you know, I wasn't going to have to justify my presence. But I'd written "Bi Pride" on my chest. And she was just like, it's so great that you're so proud of this, because it does seem like it's not something we're really supposed to be proud of. Yeah. Because, you know, we're not taking as big a risk, I suppose, is how some people do see it, as like we're not throwing ourselves in there all the way. We're sitting on the fence.
Yes. Because one of the things that we talk a little bit about on this show is this sort of struggle to stay and be seen as bi and not sort of on some sort of path to somewhere else. Do you notice any of those tensions or complexities with Christina when maybe you initially got together, or was there any... I guess I'm wondering what sort of bi conversations were kind of going on.
It's mostly after we've had a few drinks and friends are over and, you know, the strap-ons come out and we talk about different things. Kay's very open at home.
I'm very open everywhere.
Love a good strap-on.
Oh, yeah.
No, it only comes out then when she tells about, you know, friends about other experiences that she's had with male partners, with female partners. So it's kind of never really been an issue between us.
I think there was one point where an old friend who was a bit of a flirt friend of mine kind of turned up in my life again, and there was that kind of, you flirted with him? what why him? What's with him? Do you miss the dick? You've asked me that a couple of times. Do you miss the dick?
And I'm like, but then I got over it.
No, you did. I mean,
a bigger one.
And this isn't a criticism, because I think it's really important that these things are spoken about, because I don't think it is often, particularly within the gay and lesbian communities, about that there is that real sense of fear and misunderstanding, and is this person going to leave me for someone of the opposite gender, because it's easier.
And I think those questions are okay to hear our partners ask us, because that's connected to real fear about what that means to them too. So I think a lot of conversation around that's important.
Now, we got some messages, I think.
Marianne from Hyatt is asking a question. Bypass people, listen up. Are all bi people 50% attracted to males and 50% to females?
Okay, I was actually just talking with my lovely wife about this today. The term bisexual, even if you go into Kinsey scale kind of territory, is very, very broad. So bisexual can be anything from 2 to 5 on the scale. I think we were discussing this last week. You guys see yourself as pretty much 50-50?
I think mine kind of is in flux a lot. So I will find myself more attracted to women at certain points in my life, more attracted to men. At the moment, because I'm in a relationship with a woman, I'm definitely more attuned to being attracted to attributes that remind me of her. So I'm more keyed into seeing women as potential sexual partners. And I think also I'm just enjoying that, because for a long time I was straight-coded all the time, so I didn't really get to date girls because none of them really believed that I was into them.
Interesting.
You said you're 50-50 last week.
Well, I did, but now I'm thinking, like, if the guy's just so unbelievably hot, then I'm 100% attracted to him. And then if the girl's unbelievably hot and sexy, then I'm 100% attracted to her.
So. Well, you know, for sure, like, I'm 100% attracted to my partner. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not 50-50.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm attracted to you 50% of the time.
Yeah.
And I say, lovey, look, I've only got 50% to offer you.
Whereas, you see, I have always been slightly more attracted to women, and that's actually sort of grown as the years have gone by. I've had the same amount of relationships with men as I have with women, but, okay, I'm going to let you in a little secret here, boys and girls. Mm. I have cheated on most of my partners, not because of my bisexuality, but just simply because I'm a slut. But...
Yep, just say it.
I'll just say it. I'll be
Your
honest
wife
about
looks
it.
A little
come and join me
along.
Until this one came along. But every time, whether I was with a man or a woman, I cheated on them with a woman. Mm-hmm. So my go-to was always the vagina and boobs because they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're good go-tos.
They are good go-tos. I like to crawl up and... Anyway. So for me, I always see myself as 70-30. But, like, you know, I had a friend recently come out as bi and he said, like, I'm a number two on the scale. So he's mainly attracted to women, but he's open to the idea of being attracted to men and has even gone out on a few dates. So bisexuality, I think, is such a broad term, and we don't want to confuse the issue even more to even have like little subgroups of bisexuality.
Yes. And I think it can actually be quite upsetting for people because there is this attitude of, like, you know, if you're bisexual, prove it. So you've got to go out there and date one person of each sex in the next week or something like that. Yeah. And I've had...
Done it.
But I've had
I've had a
male friend of mine who was coming to terms with his own bisexuality, and him and his partner were actually like opening their relationships. So they could both kind of have a chance to experience that. And he was in tears because he felt that he wasn't sure if he liked guys as much as he liked girls, and therefore he didn't feel like he was allowed to be bisexual, call himself bisexual, identify that way. And so I was in Mexico on Skype being like, you know, you can like guys like one time out of 10 and you're still bisexual. It's just that fact that you have sexual attraction to multiple genders, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's all the time. You don't have to find every guy you meet hot.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the thing about being gay in the society and having your straight friends go, oh, do you like me? It's like, no, just because I'm gay doesn't mean I want every single person of the same gender, of the same sex.
Yes.
Just because I'm bisexual does not mean I want everybody.
That was really difficult
all
for me
the time.
At high school. Suddenly all my female friends didn't want me, like if they felt like if I couldn't, I shouldn't hug them anymore. And in fact, they said they thought I was a lesbian because I hugged them too much.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, like, generally women are given much more liberty to be affectionate physically, like, without it being sexual, which can mean sometimes it's just like, I can't tell if you're being really nice to me or if you like me.
Well, as like I was saying before, when you know, when you have a girl that you really like and you're like, oh, you're really cute. Like, oh, thanks. No, I'm flirting with you.
Yeah.
But for guys, I think it's more like once... You make a move and you make a move and it just moves.
Very clear. Yeah.
Well, it is. And I said that before earlier when we were talking. But if I think about it, like the thing I really love and appreciate about my gay male relationships is that we can be really affectionate with each other and it's just us being affectionate. We're not trying to get into each other's pants. We're not even sexually attracted to each other. But, you know, me and my friends are happy to hang out and lay on top of each other and cuddle up. And I don't do that with my straight friends too often. God knows I've tried, but
well, straight guys can be like so touchy about anything that could be perceived publicly as queer.
Oh,
and I think it's actually been a huge loss for guys because this is something that's happened in the last, you know, 100 years or less. There are old photos of guys being really affectionate with each other. That's something that's actually been lost. Even as homosexuality becomes more prominent, the fear of being mistaken or, like, you know, having to live with that means that guys are really much less likely to touch each other and hug each other and stuff.
Totally. The pressure to conform to this kind of masculine ideal, and you stray from that and there are some consequences for you.
Yeah.
I think gay men or same-sex attracted men can sometimes be removed from some of those consequences when it's all gay male spaces, I guess, wherever it's safe to do so.
Shall we talk about privilege?
Yes.
Speaking of men, let's talk about privilege.
Nice segue. I liked it.
I thought so. So I guess I do understand that as a bisexual person, when I'm in a heterosexual relationship, there is a huge amount of privilege in the fact that people treat the relationship as real. It's considered legal and all these things that I think are so bizarre to still be privileges, but they very much are. But I guess for that, it seems like it's a lot of like, and of course that's an external privilege, just like, you know, the fact that I'm white is an external privilege that I very much have.
Yes.
You know, and the fact that I've come from a middle-class family, so I've had a good education. Again, big privilege. But I think the torture I put myself through with my bisexuality over 7 years means I'm very reluctant to call it a privilege. Because the constant doubt that you go through and, like, knowing who you can tell.
And not feeling as if you belong to either community.
And being told by both communities that you don't belong, you know. It's kind of regarded as, like, the fox that steals from both the chicken coops, you know. We take it from everybody. And it's like we're thieves.
Because
like,
we're greedy.
Yeah, we're coming. No, look, I can relate to some of those. But I've got to say, as a cisgendered male, I can't, I guess, connect with them in the intensity that you're describing, because I, being a male, I have male privilege as well, and I can get away with stuff, and that's unfortunate. I mean, I'm not sort of wanting a pat on the back for that. I'm just saying that's the reality of being a male, which I you know, hopefully we can challenge more as a community also. But I can tell women that I'm bisexual and or even same-sex attracted, and they tend to maybe invite me in a little closer into their private lives, and they sense a trust that is established. And sometimes even, I know we talked about homophobia with straight men, but sometimes even straight men might seek me out to discuss some fairly intimate details that I privately get turned on about, but I try and behave as responsibly as possible when I'm with them.
My guy friends enjoy that I could check out girls with them. And so if I was hanging out with girls and guys, I could just be like, he's cute, she's cute, they look cute too. It's great, guys.
but speaking of from privilege, from a lesbian's perspective, it's like how does this idea that we as bisexuals have this kind of privilege, how does that come about in your view?
It's a really hard question.
Just say what you said to me today.
Well, I think the whole idea of, I'm just taking it from the L word and from what I've experienced, is that when lesbian women get together, they usually hang out with just the females, and it's this little secret group that they don't really want infiltrated by a masculine influence, because there's already enough masculinity in that group, you know, with all the different labels, blah, blah, blah. But I think, like I was saying to you today, that idea of inviting a bisexual girl to come in, and then if she is with dating a male at the time, bringing him into the group breaks the feminine circle. It's kind of like that, what were you saying the other time with...
About the red tent.
Yeah. It's breaking that sort of trust, because there's different energies coming in. And I think, it just gets quite, I don't know, intense and confusing, because there's a lot of outside straight guys who keep imposing themselves onto lesbian women and are like, you know, I want some of this, or can I watch this?
And bisexual women too.
But even if it's a respectful bloke, there's something about all sort of female spaces that's quite sacred. Just with all gay male spaces, there's something sort of safety in that, you know, there's something special about those. And gender's so powerful. I mean, you can be the nicest person in the world, but your gender still communicates something to your environment.
It's the first thing people notice about you, that and your race, I think. Yeah. So that's the first thing that is clocked in people's minds. Now, speaking of people bypass kids, we have another text from Greg in Werribee. How does physical attraction to a gender line up with mental and emotional connection to that gender for each of you? I think that's a really interesting question, because gender is a huge part of attraction, I feel, for myself.
Totally.
And for a lot of bisexual people, I think that's kind of where the difference between pansexual and bisexual is kind of made a little clearer, in that gender plays a role, because I definitely have different relationships. My relationship with my girlfriend is, like, it's quite calm and cuddly. Neither of us are particularly sexual. There's a lot of factors coming in for that at the moment. It's also definitely not a friendship, though, because people are like, you know, sometimes, like, lesbians just don't, they're just like, they're really, like, they confuse friendship with a relationship. And it's like, no.
That's called lesbian bed death, which is an affliction, which... Really,
it sounds like you're not suffering from that, though. I have to admit, from what I've heard,
my wife is hot.
So I suppose
it's steaming up in here, folks.
It's getting hot in here.
But I suppose I think I take a bit more of the dominant role in my female relationships from what I've had so far, from the few I've had. Less so with men. Not through lack of trying. What about you, Anthony?
Look, I really sort of intensely attracted to men and women for different reasons, and I've had trans relationships as well, and that's been really intense also for its own reasons. I find that with women, and it might sound cliche, but it's been my experience, that I find that when I've had relationships with women, there's sort of the invitation to enter into that, those emotional discussions and sort of exploring the relationship in its depths, you know, as deep as we can go, I guess. It happens a lot easier with less sort of coaching. It's stuff I like to do. My female partner does not have to coach me to do that. And with when I was with my ex-male partner, it was kind of the same, but we're trying to sort of cling on to masculinity at the same time as being sort of emotionally expressive. And it was like this clumsy process in the beginning, because we were getting to know each other, and we're really attracted to each other as masculine men, but there's that sort of sexism that comes into sort of seeing your male partner show vulnerability, and there's this kind of man up stuff. So there was a little bit of that. It wasn't too intense, but there was definitely a little bit of that. But me and him were both in years and years of therapy, so we had enough practice at it.
I had a question for you, Anthony. It's quite a personal question, but seeing as you are the second bisexual male I've ever met in my entire life.
Wow.
Yes.
Happy to represent.
Christine and I were talking today, and the question that I had was, when you're with men, is it more of an ambidextrous thing, or do you bottom with men and then top with women, or vice versa, or how does that work with the difference?
Yes. Have you been pegged?
Oh, I love being pegged. I've got to tell you, it depends on the guy. I guess in the beginning, I was worried about the physical size of the guy because I couldn't come to terms with being with a guy bigger than me. But then I met this guy.
Is that an ego thing or a comfort
totally,
thing?
Totally, all that stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
So then I met this guy who was from the military, and he was
based
back here in Melbourne. He didn't have this guy had the most incredible body. I was just looking at him thinking, like, he was twice the size of me, and I just thought, like, anyway, I thought lots of things, and I guess I did bottom, and I did experience what it was like to be penetrated. That wasn't the first time, but I guess there was something different about that experience. Mm. I felt like I was sort of trying him on, like, yeah, this big mammoth bloke.
Did it change how you felt about, like, did it give you a bit more insight into what it's like when you penetrate women in sex?
Yeah, totally. It took me to a place where I thought about power and sex quite a lot. Yeah. It did. And then I thought about there was something nice about being sort of taken care of in that way. But I was still a male in that space, and I'm very aware that being with women and sort of having sex with women, cisgendered women, that there are all sorts of issues around sort of power, mm, particularly if you're into something and they're not, and sort of just physically being on top of them, and mm, sort of if things get a bit rough, and sort of people that might be into that or not. As a male, have to grapple with this stuff and think about what the right decision is.
I think for me, one of the things is my girlfriend is 5 feet tall. I'm a bit taller than that.
Wow.
So I never dated someone who was so much smaller than me, because guys are generally, I've dated guys who are a bit shorter than me. Some of them have been okay with it. Some of them have not. Some guys get really upset when they're shorter than me.
I get really upset when guys are shorter than me.
They get upset with themselves, and it's like the Napoleon right. complex.
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry.
You're short.
I'm sorry. I like you anyway. That should be enough.
Hey, there's kinky boots.
Yeah.
This is true. Right.
But I found that with dating someone who was smaller than me, I did feel quite protective of her, especially, again, because she, you know, this was her first time really in a female relationship. You know, coming in Australia, she was able to be out of the closet, which was a really, really big deal for her. But there was that kind of part of me that, because she was smaller, I was just like, I'm just going to wrap myself around you and keep you safe, which I do not have when I date men.
Wow.
Like, I do have occasionally if we're talking about something and I can feel they've been hurt, or they're feeling like I want to hold them. But it's not the same sense of I'm going to keep you safe in the way that, like, you know, physically, because it's one of the few partners I've had where I was like, I'm actually physically bigger and more empowering than you. Yeah. That's quite unusual for me.
I've always been the strongest person in every relationship.
That doesn't surprise
so
me.
So true. Yeah. And I'm a personal trainer as well.
Like, I'm really strong.
Yeah, I've never actually had a partner that was more, like, dominant in that way, that was the protective partner that Christina is. Like, usually it's me, and, I mean, my past relationships, I was always much stronger and bigger and could fight off anything, and now I'm like, oh, hi.
Right. But they are things that I think as bisexual people we grapple with based on the gender of our partner, where we think about sort of roles, responsibilities, and sort of the script, like who does what here.
And because I've experienced, like, you know, dating multiple genders, there is that thing of, like, I'm doing this because I'm dating this person, as opposed to because it's natural. Sometimes, like, I'm doing this because it'll make you more comfortable. Like, when I've dated guys, I've definitely toned down parts of myself to make them feel more comfortable at first.
Oh, no, I've never done that. You should actually finish.
That's a great story, Kay. I know what you're going to say.
Okay, now we have to hear it.
Oh, God.
Give it to us.
Well, in my male relationships, I remember the last boyfriend I had before Kristen and I got together, I was fixing my car, because I do stuff like that, because my mum was a single mum and she brought me up to be independent and do your own stuff. And he was standing there watching me, and he just said to me, "You make me feel useless." Mm-hmm. And why? Because I should be doing that, because I'm the man. And he was half joking, but half wasn't.
Mm.
And I had this realization, it's just like, I emasculate every single man I'm with because I don't need them.
Yeah, my first thing on dates is I refuse to let a guy pay for me. Like, I just flat out like refuse, or I'll go to pay. And I was one of my guy friends was like, you realize that when you do that, you're instantly setting the bar, saying, like, I'm not putting up with that.
Yeah.
Which for a lot of guys is like, oh, goodness me.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're refusing to fall into that role. And it's because I know some, you know, a lot of men don't do it to be patronizing, but the idea of paying for a woman is like, you know, they're trying to be gentlemen.
Well, it's also this, they're brought up with certain gender roles that they think are expected of them. Mm. And because a lot of women are brought up with
gender roles that are expected of them.
A lot of women expect men to pay.
Yeah, and a lot of, yeah, vice versa. You know, women expect men to do things and men expect women to do things. And then
I think it's great you can fix a car, by the way.
Oh, I can do all sorts of things, baby.
Yeah. But I guess thinking about the sort of gender of our partners, and when we have had experiences of being with more than one gender, we get to sort of grapple with this stuff in sort of more broader terms. And I think there's something nice about that.
I think there's something really nice about that.
Christina's wife here, hey.
Whose name is Kristen, who also is Justin on the weekends. She's a drag king called Justin Talika. We're going to talk about that at some stage later.
Bisexual's dream.
Yeah, apparently Justin is bisexual. Justin is very bisexual. Exciting. Yes. I definitely want to meet him soon.
Yeah.
He's
hot.
So we've started off on a pretty angry note. We've ended up on a pretty sexy one.
Yeah, we're lighter now. Yeah.
Get lighter.
Thank you. Down, down.
Just like to say a very quick hello to Anthony's mum who's
Hi.
Listening tonight.
We hope you found out this very informative.
Yes. Anyway, we'll work that out later. But it's been an interesting hour. We've covered a lot. And just remember, this show is for not just all our bi brothers and sisters, but also those of you who are in relationships with us, who are in our families and who fall in love with us.
Or just have questions. So some people, you know, who might have, you know, some ideas of or some frustrations about bisexuality that this might help alleviate. Turns out we're not trying to steal the spotlight. We just
We
just want to claim our B.
We just have a lot to say.
We just what we do, baby. That's why we're on radio.
That's right.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.